Hallelujah, well, I love to praise his name, well.
I love to praise.
In the morning, I love to praise. In the evening,
I love to praise.
To praise his holy name.
Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? God is good, and we thank him for blessing us to wake up and see another beautiful day. I hope you don't start taking these days for granted. Yes, if you were able to put 2 feet on the ground this morning, you ought to be able to say, thank you, Lord. Amen. God is good, and we know that we have a lot that we can complain about, but we also have a lot that we can be thankful for, don't we? Sing a song with me this morning, just a verse of it. My brother sang it a few minutes ago. Thank you. Thank him if you... Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord. And I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been so good. Yes, 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 and I just want to thank you, Lord. If you are visiting with us this morning, you're truly our honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're watching by way of television, thank you this morning also. We know you have many choices to choose from, and we hope you stay with us just for a few minutes and allow the Lord to speak to you this morning. We can minister to you in any way. If you need prayer, if you need to talk to somebody, please call a number on your screen. Someone will answer the phone and talk with you. But more than that, we'd love to see you one day here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ on the corner of Interstate 10 and Waco Street. Meet with me this morning in the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 25. Chapter 25. I want to begin reading at verse number 14, familiar passage of Scripture. Jesus is approaching the end of his ministry. And the Bible says, it reads, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged it in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hadst that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I am not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges. And then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, give it to him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But unto him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. My, oh my. This is Jesus. This is a parable of Jesus. And some of you know that Jesus used parables in his messages, in his teaching, especially as it kind of before it was Jesus' time to be crucified. He used parables which were earthly stories that had divine, heavenly, eternal meanings to explain to the people the eternal truths that he was trying to explain. He used them for two reasons. For that reason, to explain the eternal with the earthly so they could relate to it. He also used them parables to conceal from those who were ready to kill him already, to conceal the truth from those, but to give it to those who really wanted the truth. And he used these parables, and here in Matthew chapter 25, two in particular. This is the parable of the talents, but he uses a parable of 10 virgins before this parable in verse number 1 through verse number 13 of 10 virgins, wise and foolish virgins. And he often said, this is like the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. And in Matthew chapter 13, he actually uses 7 parables talking about the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven in Matthew chapter 13, it seems to be related. It was in reference to the church, the parable of the pearl of great price. If a man found the pearl and sold all that he had because he found the truth and he wanted to keep it. And he sold everything that he had. And this was the church. But when we get to Matthew chapter 25, and Jesus, he starts this lesson off in verse 14. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. He's talking about God is a kingdom over the whole world. You know that. The whole world is his footstool. He's king over everything. But the kingdom of Jesus died for the kingdom of God, the church. The kingdom of heaven is the heavenly realm. And sometimes the kingdom of heaven refers to our eternal realm. We are in God's kingdom if you're baptized into the church this morning. While we're on this earth, we're already in God's kingdom. But this is not the only part of God's kingdom. And see, what we're trying to get to is the eternal kingdom. And in the parable of the 10 virgins, the wise and foolish virgin, it was all about preparation. Notice this. In Matthew chapter 13, the parable was about the church. While you're on this earth, you are do whatever you do. If you find the truth, you hold on to it till you die. It's that important. Nothing else is more important than you being into the church. But then when we get to Matthew chapter 25, this kingdom of heaven, these parables are written to those who are already in the kingdom of God. They are in the church. Church, we need to hear this morning. You're a Christian, but you haven't made it to heaven yet. And if you don't prepare, you can lose your way if you don't prepare yourself for when Jesus comes again. And that's what he tells those 10 virgins. You be wise and you watch because Jesus is coming again. And he tells them that. And he tells the servants, he says, and some were ready and some were not. But when we get to Matthew chapter 25, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. And this is Jesus talking. And when Jesus gave this parable, notice this, he hadn't died yet. the kingdom of God, the church of God, the church of Christ, Jesus Christ, wasn't even established when Jesus gave this parable to the people. It wasn't established yet. And he tells them about that kingdom. He says, look, when you find it, you better get in it. Like somebody here this morning, I know somebody, and never underestimate church members, church folk. And people come to us. Everybody, some people come here for the Lord. Amen. I hope all of us should come for the Lord. Some folk come for a different reason, but there might be somebody in here who are searching for the truth, the kingdom of God. And if you find the kingdom of God, you claim it with your life. If there's no mother, another more important possession than you getting in the kingdom of God. But then we get to when Jesus tells them that. But then he also relates to them the eternal kingdom. He gives them the kingdom of God, the church, get in it. But just when you get in it, you haven't made it to heaven yet. That's what he tells them. And he says this kingdom of heaven is as a man going in a far country. And very soon, Jesus is getting ready to go to the far country. This is a parable. Now, none of them, they probably didn't understand totally what he was talking about when he first started talking about, but Jesus is talking about himself. He said, it's like a man going into a far country. Some of you may remember in the book of Acts, you know this, in the book of Acts, after Jesus did die and he resurrected in Acts chapter 1 in verse number 9, listen to what the Bible says. And when he had spoken these things, this is after Jesus came back, after he resurrected to his disciples, while they beheld, he was taken up. Jesus spent some time with him, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. In verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? With this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall show come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Jesus says, you standing here looking. He says, I'm coming just like I'm coming back just like I left here. That's what Jesus said. And so we get to the book of Matthew, and he says, I'm going, it's like a kingdom. I'm going to a far country. Jesus is going. He went when he left his world, he went back to be on the right hand of the Father. You also remember in John chapter 14 when Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. You remember that? Jesus said that before he said this parable. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. So when we get to Matthew chapter 25, and Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man going into a far country. Church, today, we wasn't back there when Jesus said that verbally, but we're here right now. And don't you know right now the message to us right now, everybody that's here right now, is Jesus is in the far country. Yeah, he's gone away. And he went on a journey. He did live. And he tells this parable, so it has the same meaning, but it's different for different times. It's a little bit different to us because, see, then Jesus had left for the far country. Now Jesus is in the far country. Go back to the parable, let's read it again. And he called his servants before he left. His own servants, notice. That's why we know that these are those who are in the kingdom. Jesus called his own servants. You do know if you're a child of God, you're a servant of God. Yeah, and see, some translations use slave. We don't like to use that word. But if you are a child of God, you are a slave to God. Yes. It means you obey the master. That's what it means. Well, yeah, I don't like that language. Well, that's what it is. And you know what? We listening to somebody anyway. And some of us are our own masters. Yeah, we might not listen to nobody else, but we listen to ourselves, and we get ourselves in all kinds of trouble. But these were his own servants, and he delivered unto him his goods. This is a parable. He delivered unto him to his goods before Jesus left. God is good. He's wonderful. And he gave his servants something before he left. And I noticed this, and he says, unto one he gave 5 talents. Now, these talents, And this in this particular instance, in this context, it really is talking about wealth. Talking about, see, but talus is not the same word that we English word. Our English word comes from this word because our English word talents means a special ability. But talents in the Old Testament and the New Testament, when it refers to talents, is actually talking about a weight of measurement. The Hebrew talent, the talent that you had a talent of bronze, a talent of silver. The amount wasn't always stable. See, because a talent of silver and a talent of gold were different values. They have different values. So it's talking about a weight. But most scholars, one thing we do know when we talk about these talents is talking about something that was very valuable. Some would say even 15 to 20 years wages of common labor. So it was a lot of money. Notice he says, and Jesus, he says he gave him five talents. It's not talking about ability in this instance. But notice this, go back to the text. And he gave unto him five talents, to another two, to another one. Notice that to every man according to his several or his own ability. So the talents and abilities are two separate things, but the thing we need to remember is they all come from God. Amen. Amen. Yeah, notice this. Every dollar you make, every dime you put in your pocket, you put in the bank, it's because of the blessings of God. No, Brother Gary, I went to school and I graduated and I make all of this money. Oh, come on, please. Notice this. See, first of all, whatever little piece of brain you have, God gave it to you. Oh, no, I'm smart. God gave you that smartness. This is one of the reasons why I believe some of us do not have an appreciation, a gratitude to want to give back to God, because we don't give God credit for giving us to us. And when you realize where it all comes from, let me see if I can pull it together just a little bit more. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Ephesians 4, verse 7. Ephesians 4, verse 7. Here's one of those every scriptures. You know, I like scriptures with every and all and we all, everyone. But unto every one of us. See, that those kind of passages, some people say, well, everybody don't understand the Bible the same way. Well, do you understand this one? It says, but unto every one of us. Now, who does that miss in here? No, I'm black, white, yellow, brown, pink, purple. I don't care who you are, rich, poor. To every one of us is given grace. Everybody say grace. Grace is favor. Notice, it's a gift. It's given. You don't earn it. God gives it. Yeah, it's a gift. You know, anything that's a gift, you know, it's a gift. You didn't pay for it. You notice you didn't even ask for it. But it's given. It's grace. It's favor. Notice, according to the measure, according to the proportion of the gift of Christ. That means that God gave everybody something in here. Yeah, he gave all of us something. And it says, wherefore he said, when he ascended on high, and the Apostle Paul goes back to the Old Testament today from a passage of David in Psalms 68. He says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. Speaking of Jesus, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's gone to the far country. He's at the right hand of God. He ascended. He led captivity. Jesus conquered everything in this world that could influence. Jesus got it. He conquered death, grave, everything, and sin. He led captivity captive. And notice this, and he gave gifts unto me. One thing we all have gifts. I'm 80 years old. You still have a gift. Yeah. See, as long as you're living, you have a gift. And God gave the gift. Everybody say, I have a gift. Yeah, you can't lie now. Yeah, you say, I have a gift. I didn't give this lesson a title. It's two titles: use it or lose it. Well done, well done. But two titles. You either one of you take them or leave them. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter 4, 10. As every man had received the gift, even so minister the same, serve the same one to another. See, minister, that means to serve. That means the gift is not for you to keep and gloat about. The gift is not for you to brag about. The gift is not for you to keep to yourself, to use just on yourself. The gift is not for selfish reasons. It's for us to minister, to serve. And say, who are you serving, Brother Gary? One another. As good stewards or managers of the manifold, the many-sided grace or favor of God. Then if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, notice this. God, in the parable, God gave talents according to the ability. See, now, if any man speak, let him speak as of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability. Notice, which God give. God give the talents and God give the ability. The talents are the wealth, the material goods, the financial resources, but he gives us the ability to use everything that he's given us. But God gave it all to us. Yeah, I wish everybody come. I want you put your bank accounts, everything. I want to see everything you got right up here. Yeah, that wasn't too funny, was it? I just saying that. I was just thinking about that because when I was reading this, I see. That's true though. Yeah, and go back to the parable. I'm not going to have time to finish all this, but I'm go back to the pair. I just want to, I've read this so many times, and I'm trying to get the understanding of it. He gave one five talent. Who's doing the giving? God is. Who determines what we get? God does. Now notice, this is God's part. Because, you see, you got to understand that God has a part. You're not God. You can't be God. Don't get mad at God. Don't be trying to tell God who to give what. You know, in your own family, in your own house, you have three children. And you know, you can sing to them. You can teach them the ABCs and go over all the lessons and do the same thing to all of them. They all three of them. You teach the ABC, three of them, they do trying to teach them the ABC. AB, come on, we're going to say it ABC, ABC. One saying AB, they just say ABC. Another one over there. just different. Some of it is because I'm not saying it takes discipline, it takes work, but some people have different gifts. Different gifts, but it's God giving them to use to his glory, his honor, to minister in the way that we minister. Go back to the text. So he gave one five. But some of us read that. That seems like God got favor, because why did he get that one five and get another one two and another one one? Why would God do that? That's not your business. That's not your business. God gave it. And maybe God, maybe when Jesus left, maybe he knew the abilities. You see Jesus' 12 apostles, and it seems every time you read about the apostles, you see Peter's name is mentioned first. Well, why Peter's name got to be mentioned first? Because God wanted it in the word like that. Somebody's name had to be mentioned. Well, why he just didn't mix it up? Because he didn't want to. Amen. Yeah, and you know, but we put ourselves in God's place. You know what? Some of us, you don't need to be there anyway. You couldn't handle it if your name was first. And notice, let me finish reading. It says this: he gave another two to another one, to every man according, and straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents, he went and traded the same. There's so many points. Let me not get lost. He that received the five talents, he went and traded the same, made them other five talents. Here you get a glimpse in the mind of God. You know, Lord have mercy. There's no way we understand God, what God is thinking. But every now and then God reveals, he reveals some characteristics that we need to take note of. Notice, God gave the talents. Anytime God give us anything, it's for a reason. God wants us to do something with what? He didn't just give us something to lay down and say, oh, I got what God gave me and that's it. Never in the word of God. And he gave me five, he says, and he traded. He traded five. Likewise, the other received two, and he also gained two others. One thing I noticed is this passage, I'm going to say it before I run out of time. God expects a return. Yeah, he expects a profit, if you will. Yeah, when God give you something, God wants you to do something with it, and he expects a return. Amen. And then notice this. Notice the one that gave the one. He says, and he received one, he went and digged it in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Notice, I'm glad he did one thing. The Bible says he knew it was the Lord's money. See, when you got a gift, when you got a resource, you need to know it's the Lord's. Yeah, some of us, I wrote a list of so many different things, of gifts that we have, and some of us don't recognize gifts. Some of us don't acknowledge gifts. And then some of us in the church, see, one of the responsibilities of the leaders in the church, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, is to equip the saints for works of service. That is the responsibility of the pastors who are the elders and the evangelists and the teachers, is to equip the saints for works of service. Now, we just read in here, how do you serve? By using your particular gift to serve one another. So if a member has a gift, it is the leadership's responsibility to try to get those members in a place that they can use their gifts to serve other people. And so if everybody in here has a gift, then we need to do a better job of equipping our saints, don't we? Now, notice this. Now, I'm not giving you an excuse, because according to this passage, according to this parable, God didn't put the response. God is talking about those servants who he gave the talents to. And he says they went and traded. Because, see, some of us, we waiting on somebody to pick us up, give us a special invitation. But you need to get up and do some things yourself. And all of it does not have to be in a group setting. You can serve somebody on your job if they need help and you have the gift to help them. Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, if you have a good singing voice and we in here singing praises to God and you not singing, that's no return for God. That's no profit for God. God has given you, and he knows your name, and he knows you can sing, because he gave you the gift, and you use it everywhere else. You use it at home. You at home in the shower, and you just up singing all those beautiful songs, and you're as loud as you can be. You go to the ball game, you go to parties, and you, when your song come on the radio, hey. And then when we sing it, oh, how I love Jesus. When we're singing, thank you, Lord, God, out of all, everybody be singing, but you not singing. And God gave you that beautiful voice, and he know he gave it to you. And I know I gave it that girl, I know she can sing, and she not even singing at all to me.
Yeah, and he dug it, and he hid the gift. Listen to what else he said. Says this. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants coming. God is patient. He's kind. He's loving. See, I wish, I don't know how to measure God's time. I know the Bible said one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. But in the parable, he said after a long time. I do thank God that he is long-suffering. Don't you? Yeah. You know, but sometimes it kind of makes us a little bit, we have false security because, see, we think because Jesus hadn't been back from the far country for a long time, we think we secure and everything's all right. Ain't nothing changed. Everything the same. Yeah, I'm just going to see. I'm not going to do nothing. This is my doing my thing. You don't bother me. I don't bother you. Nobody's saying nothing. But God sees all. And scriptures say after a long time, and I don't know, maybe it's a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. I know some of us, we're shy, you know, especially, that's what I try to put myself in people's place, you know, especially, you know, we're members of the body, this church is kind of big, so you've got plenty of people in here, you know, everybody, they got somebody, for do everything, and they don't need me, and I don't, you know, everybody do that thing, they don't need me, but you know, the harvest is plentiful, and the labels are few. You'd be surprised, at this church, here right now, you'd be surprised how many people are really, truly, truly involved. You would be surprised at how many people are behind a lot of stuff that gets done and goes on. You really would be surprised. Now, we probably are better than most when it comes to churches and involvement because we have so many ministers we're trying to give opportunities. I'm not trying to beat anybody, but I understand. I understand that, you know, you checking things out and people so weird and, you know, I don't want to rub nobody wrong and, you know, yeah, I don't want to ruffle no feathers and, but there is a place for you to use your gift. There is a way that you can use your gift and glorify God, and you don't have to grandstand. You don't have to be on a pedestal to do it. But you can still fulfill God's mission because according to my reading the word of God, God wants a return from your gift. Yes, sir. And it may have been a long time since you've been involved, but even after a long time, this is what the passage said. The Lord of the servant cometh and reckoneth or settles with them. He says he's gonna settle with those that he's given gifts to and given talents to. It says, and so that he, listen to what the scripture said. And so that he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered them to me, five talents. Notice how grateful he is. Behold, I've gained beside them five talents more. Well, he went to work, didn't he? Yeah, he went to work, and what he did, he traded, he doubled what he had. His Lord said unto him, boy, Lord, but I tell you what, Lord said unto him, well done. Anybody want to hear well done? Yes, notice, he says, well done, thou. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing when you are working for somebody or you're doing a job. And you hear somebody say to you, good job. Well done. Job well done. Now, what? Imagine God, the creator, saying to you, Vernon Lewis III, well done. Well done, faithful servant. Boy, you can't ask for nothing better than that. I'm telling you, that's what he said. The man had five talents. I know what he did. Notice this. He said, then he which had received the two talents came and said, Lord, I knew that. No, excuse me. Your two talents. Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. He recognized where they came from. Behold, I've gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. These are the rewards. The rewards are commendation. Now, where God says to us, well done. Yes. Boy, that's some good words there. Yes, it's a good word. I know one thing that make me feel, just fills me up, is for my dad to say to me. My dad, he'll say this. Because, see, my dad, when I was younger, we played sports. And my dad, he didn't talk that, you know, he talked. We, you know, he was a good daddy, but he didn't express verbally you know, I mean, some dads are like me. I say I love you all the time, you know. My dad didn't just come up to you as a kid and say, you know, I love you. Not, you know, maybe he did, but he ain't say it that much. He says to me, he'll come up to me, he says, Gary, he says, you're doing a good job. Or he'll say, Gary, I am so proud of you. And, you know, I kind of brush it off. I say, you know, I'll be like, oh, daddy, you know. But that, boy, I'm telling you, that fills me up. You know, some of our children are waiting to hear us as parents, when they do something that's worthy, they waiting to hear something. Good job, proud of you. And God the Father, you know. And sometimes, you know what the thing about it is, as Christians, as servants, and I gotta end on time. As servants, see, sometimes being a Christian is lonely. You know, people don't see everything you're doing, and I hope you don't get discouraged because you're not the song leader, you're not a deacon, you're not an elder, you're not the preacher, you're not working around the table. Because there's so much in the Lord's kingdom that we can do that glorifies God. And the beautiful thing about it is God sees it and He knows it. That's why He's given so many different talents. You know, you have sisters in the church who do things that I know about just because people express thanks. And they say, you know, so-and-so sister called me. So-and-so sister sent me a card. So-and-so sister helped my child. So-and-so sister gave my... So I hear these beautiful things. I'm saying, these are God's children helping other, ministering. See, ministering is seeing after the needs of somebody else. And God sees it all and knows it all. And you got to know one of your rewards is when God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, I mean, that'll be enough for a whole lot of us, but that wasn't all the reward. Notice what the second part of the reward, he said this. He says, after that he said, good and faithful servant, he said, thou have been faithful over a few things, I'll make you a ruler. God gives you more resources. He gives you more, and he doubled what they had, they done. He gave him more resources, more responsibilities, because he knew that if he gave them more, they would do more. One of the things that to me, just what I see in church growth and talking to a lot of different members, people, see, one reason why God not blessing a whole lot of folk is they ain't doing nothing with what they have. I was so proud of being a member of this church when we said, you know what, we're going to do the turkeys ourselves. We're going to do this ourselves. We can give of our means to help this community. And we said it, and the whole membership said, let's do it. And to God be the glory, because to whom much is given, much is expected of God. God gave it to us, and now notice this. Now, and according to this passage, God says, the money was God, who gave us the money anyway, and we used the money, and we had a return of, I know, 900, 1,000 people coming in here to visit that's not members of this body. Some of them are in here right now because of that outreach. And God blesses, and you know what? I believe God gonna give us more money. Amen. He's going to give us more money to do even greater works for him. So he gave them greater resources. He gave them commendation. He gave them greater, more resources. Then the Bible says the third part of that reward was that he says, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He says, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, I don't have time to go into great detail, but because I haven't even gotten to the servant who had one talent. And I'm going to leave him alone this morning. But one of his punishment was that God called him, you evil
you slothful or lazy servant. And then at the end of that, he says, there's going to be weeping, gnashing of teeth. God gave him the talent. He didn't use it. And then he started making excuses and started blaming it on God. And God, I knew you were hard. I'm like, ooh, man. Wrong answer. And see, the scripture didn't really describe to us what the joy of the Lord, but we know if the punishment of the Lord was weeping and gnashing the teeth, the joy of the Lord is we're going to be with God, where there's peace, where there's no sickness, there's no wanting, there is hallelujah. Have you ever been, see, some, you know, just sometimes in life, some, you know, you, the song you say, I've had my good days and I have my bad days. See, in the joy of the Lord, there won't be no bad days. All of the days will be good days. Yes. And I won't complain. And so in the joy of the Lord, it's like, you know, you wake up and have some good days. Say, ooh, today is just a good day. Boy, you know, all day long, how you doing? I'm doing good. And it's just joy. And don't you, I love it. I love it. And that's why I say, when you have some joyous days, you better enjoy them. Some of us, sometimes we just walk around like we waiting on something bad to happen, something good to happen. You better say, praise the Lord. You just wish you could just keep it. I just want to admonish the church. I want to admonish the church. Remember where our talents and our gifts come from. They come from God, not to be selfish. And I know some of us have to be encouraged more than others, and you have to be given an opportunity. And we have in our ministries, those of you that's working in our ministry, we hope that you would, we're going to have some tables out today. Go by and visit. Go by and introduce yourself to the ministry leaders and find out more about ministries that's going on. Find your place. Find your place. If there's something that you see that we're not doing, that we can serve mankind better, give us some ideas. Talk to the elders. Give them some ideas. But we want to create opportunities that we all can serve. Now, we're serving not for folk to pat us on the back. We're trying to lead people to Jesus Christ because we are preparing for the kingdom of heaven. Because when Jesus comes back from that far country, he's going to take an account of what we've done, even those that's in the kingdom right now. That is as real could be. You read the rest of this chapter, Matthew chapter 25, and he talks about judgment day. And he says, well, judge, Lord, he says, he's going to separate those that's going to be the sheep and the goat. And he's going to give the reasons why you're going to be a sheep and you're going to be a goat. And put it in its simplest term is because you haven't served nobody. Because when you do it to the least of anybody, you do it to God. You do it for God. And so we want to admonish everybody in the church to use your gifts, your talents to bring glory and honor to our great God in heaven. So we can be a church unspotted, a church that when Jesus comes back from that far country, we will be a bride adorned for the bridegroom. And we can consummate our union with Jesus Christ and live with him forever and ever in joy and peace forever and ever. And while we on this earth, we're going to make this world a much better place to live in. You here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. You come by faith believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. If you are willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, I tell you nay, but except unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. If you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth, Romans 10:9-10, Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. If you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. If you're willing to live for the Lord until you die, Revelations 2:10. God has a crown for us. And I don't know about you, but I want my crown. Yes. You're here today and you need to be baptized, please come today. If you're here, you have a special prayer request, please come. If you're here and you want to get something right with the Lord, come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give, and I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live.
Yes, and I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all.
And all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all, and all to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow, and worldly pleasure all forsaken.